Stay tuned for your 3CR podcast, featuring interviews from Bundles Fire Radio Show. 3CR is an independent community radio station in Fitzroy, Victoria, on the unceded lands of the Kulin Nation. For more information, go to www.3cr.org.au. Bunawari and the band. He'll be playing there tomorrow night, and also tomorrow night, my sister's going to be speaking. She was a member of the Black GST and the original Camp Sovereignty, 2006. Good morning, Marge, and thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Rob. How you going?
Yeah, good. How are you today?
I'm good, yes.
Yeah, cool. Are you in Melbourne?
I'm at Victoria Uni.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, having a break.
So what's that? What's that place there? Give it a plug, Marge.
It's where Gary Foley's Aboriginal History Archives are, and I've been working in the last year or so in putting my paperwork and what I've gathered along the way into the Aboriginal History Archives.
That's mad.
Major reason was because I was sick of them taking up space in my house. But I think that, if, you know, the papers, you know, you can process them in the university, which I've had the opportunity to do, and put them, you know, for safekeeping for people who want to know, you know, what happened.
Yeah, I need to do that myself with all the stuff that I've got in my
house. Well, I think the technology today is, you know, is prone to interference and distraction. So I think the old pen and paper is still the way to go if you want to keep something, you know, for the future.
I think I've got a few things over there, actually.
Yes, well, you're prominently featured there. And Gary Foley, of course, is he's the professor of the unit. Now I work with an amazing team of people who are working on, you know, it's not just the history archives. There's a lot of Indigenous students that are now signing up, and it's expanding in terms of a TAFE university for our people to, you know, get a good education in a safe environment. It's an amazing university.
It's a beautiful university, campus. Yeah, it's amazing, and it's all brand new, sort of, isn't it?
Well, I think it's I'm not sure of the history, but I think it started off as a TAFE college, and it's built up into a university over the many years. But Mum, as you know, got a doctorate from VU last year. Yes. And at the graduation ceremony, I was just amazed at all of the different people that were at the graduating on that day. And you
that
know,
was great. Was that the Ponies and Race course in the members' room?
The multicultural factor in the university is just amazing and beautiful.
It is a beautiful space.
All those people graduating.
On the Maribyrnong River. So it's just a beautiful space.
Right across
space.
The road from Flemington Racecourse.
It's a great space.
Yeah, beautiful place.
So can the public access this information? How do they do that? Is it open to the public, and how does that work? If they want
The university.
Yeah, well, the archive stuff.
Well, they'd have to have permission, of course, to do that. That's a whole process in itself.
Yeah.
So you would have to, you know, write a letter to Mundani Balak, the Aboriginal History Archives, and say what you wanted to see, and you get permission by the person who was in, you know, whose ever collection it is, and you'd be assisted however, you know, an archive would you know, operate. And that's the, you know, that's the beauty of it all, that these documents are kept for forever, basically.
We've come a long way in terms of, you know, our intellectual property business, and
well, that's right, and it's protected, and it's also obviously through a university. The protection is about your intellectual property as well, being protected, and you know what's documented is your information, and I think that's, you know, that's important.
I reckon,
and yeah,
it's fantastic. Well, tomorrow night from 5:30 onwards. You're going to be in attendance down at Camp Sovereignty, is that right? You're going to be there?
Yes, I'll be there.
Yeah,
yeah,
cool.
5 o'clock, I understand.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your memory of Camp Sovereignty, because you were part of the Black GST group.
Yeah.
It was me, you, Foley, Claire.
Targan was at his house. with his wife.
Alison.
Alison, Ali, and Ken.
Ken.
Remember, he's bought the border. He lived there with him.
Yeah.
You know, amazing people. And
it must have been about 2005, I suppose, 2004 and 5.
Yes. It would have been definitely 2004, 2005, because we spent every Wednesday there talking about what we were going to do and how we were going to do an action for the Commonwealth Games.
Yes.
Of course, that were being held in Melbourne at that time in 2006.
Yes, and that's so, what we like doing is taking advantage of those international spotlights, like
yes.
The occasion of the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, so we had to, we had the plan that we discussed over many, weeks.
Over many nice dinners, actually, was.
Yes, we did. It was, yeah. And it was wonderful to have that environment to be able to, to talk to different people about what we reckon should happen. And that was at the time, I think, there was a GST tax happening in the country. And we honed in on that because we've seen GST, which was genocide, sovereignty and treaty, and we called it black, the black
yeah.
GST.
Well, what does GST mean for the government? What was that? GST tax, goods and services yeah. tax.
Yes, that's right, goods and services.
Yeah.
And we turned it into the black GST,
yes.
genocide, sovereignty and treaty.
It's a nice touch.
What we were up against was the... that at that time, there was a lot of T-shirts out, everyone was wearing a black fella T-shirt and all of these slogans were happening. So we had to think carefully about what we were proposing to do so that it would gain the interest and the attention of our people and certainly the people that we wanted to make aware of our issues. And they were the same issues, as we know, genocide, ongoing, unresolved trauma. All of that is still happening, worse today than probably what it was, as bad.
Absolutely.
Sovereign, we are sovereigns. We've never ceded our sovereignty. We've never given consent for the occupation of this country to today. And treaty was the main, was one of the most important things, aspects of that, because we need to have a treaty that obviously addresses the issues of genocide, which we see is unresolved trauma, grief and loss. Our people are suffering from serious mental health issues as a result of our place in this country and the services
being
that are battling. Well, absolutely. The services that are still today don't meet the standards to be able to address our problems. We need proper mental health services. We need proper rehab. We need all of that for people who are suffering from serious mental health issues.
They were, the organisations were heading in the right directions at one stage when they were community based and controlled, but when they, I think the time of incorporation changed things a bit, and we lost sort of a bit of a control over the organisations and what they were meant to represent. Become more.
I think our population changed as well because a lot of people, come to Melbourne. It's a big city, and people come to Melbourne for lots of reasons, for jobs and for education, the number one reasons why a lot of Aboriginal people come from across this country.
Yes.
Indigenous people, that is.
Or refuge too, because it was a great space, particularly around Fitzroy back in the day.
That's right. But as we see, it's changed. Fitzroy, not many people can afford to live in Fitzroy these days, or they're all mansions.
Oh, okay.
And so the inner Melbourne... that's being brought up by the developers, as we see happening.
Yes.
And our people went to those places, in particular Fitzroy, was where our families came from the Western District and from Gippsland, because of the conditions of life in the areas that they lived in, Gippsland and Western District. And that's where there was a lot of poverty, people couldn't get jobs. Men, this is before the single mother's pension, and kids were being taken off. Young women or women who were having babies, if they weren't married, they were out, they would take the child off you.
That's right.
And that happened in the hospital system.
Is that the time too when they were closing the reserves and mission stations down too, so forcing people off the land a bit and out of their places?
Well, we were forced off the land from when the, you know, they opened up the frontiers for settlement, and you know, that was a violent times in Victoria, in particular. You know, the country was opened up, and they seen the land that was in Victoria, and that was like the El Dorado, and that was some of the comments I've seen in some of the explorers' books about this is the El Dorado. Quickly,
absolutely,
let's go to Melbourne and stake our claim. And at the same time, they were it was warfare, open warfare on our people who are unarmed. Well, they had their spears and their boomerangs, but they were you know, massacred. Our great-great-grandmother was one of those people who survived the massacre around the Garraward, Hamilton Way, Western District, and Jackarung Country.
Yeah.
And she ran with our great-great-grandmother on her back
to
Lake Conda to survive. And she's seen massacres in front of her eyes that she had to hide from. That was outright killing. That's what our families have witnessed at the point of contact.
Yeah, I don't think people realise the magnitude or the gravity of the crime that happened here in this country.
It's the history is there, and that's why it's really important about who writes the history here, and that's why, you know, going back to where I'm working now with Gary Foley's Aboriginal History Archive, is the point that, you know, needs to be made, that we need to make sure the history is kept as we remember it. So,
yes,
you know, it's important that those stories from our great-great-grandparents are told, and those people. There was wholesale removal of children. There was wholesale murder, outright
systemic
murder of women, children and men,
yeah,
on the front, you know, the frontier wars, they call it. But that was a massive assault on our people. So we're the remnants
and Victoria, they basically took the brunt of colonialism, put his continent.
Well, if you're looking for land outside of England, Victoria and Tasmania would be looking pretty good, wouldn't it?
I reckon.
That's why. That's the reason why, I believe, because the climate was suitable.
Yes.
And you know, it was a
it's very rich
climate.
Very rich. I think that's why they named it Victoria, because it was probably the jewel in the crown, this place, in terms of all the Commonwealth countries. This is where mega wealth came out of this place here, in terms
still
of the
does
gold and, you know, the
there's
resources.
Still a lot more there. They're looking at, you know, the mining in Gippsland right now and the Mitchell River.
Yeah.
They're looking at a rare earth mineral mine that will destroy lake's entrance. The lakes in Lakes Entrance, it will destroy the Mitchell River, and this is one of the resources that they badly want for their technology. And so we're up against that with the farmers in Lindeno,
yes,
who are fighting this on this front, and this is for silica mine.
It's ironic that the farmers are on side now too, isn't it? And
well,
that's
you
not
know,
just here in
right.
Gippsland, it's all across the country now because...
Well, those people... Those farmers, our people, our families used to pick for them, so they were camping there in that area.
Yes.
You know, but now, you know, you have to, that's where a united front,
yeah,
in saying we've got to protect the country, because what's being proposed there is you know, destruction of the environment.
Yeah. So, yeah,
so
that's
going
right.
Back to the Black GST, you know, that is an issue of genocide. And that is also, you know, why we maintain that we have not given consent for the occupation to this country, free, prior and informed consent, which is what we should be entitled to like any other Indigenous peoples around the world, and that's been denied us. And so when we're talking about a treaty, and yes, we have a treaty in Victoria that's being actually candidates, there's a number of candidates, and that's with the state of Victoria. But what we're talking about is a national treaty with the Commonwealth about the occupation of the whole country.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it needs
agenda
to be. At. That's now where. Because
yeah,
treaties, yeah, are done between two laws, and you know, it's got to be given that respect. Otherwise, it's not really a treaty. But I think, you know, it's a step in the right direction.
Robbie, a treaty is an agreement, and if our people in this state can come forward and have an agreement with the state for services that we need on our terms, well, I think that's a good thing. And I think if it's being funded by a lot of young people, and you know, it will evolve. And,
yeah, I think
and,
so.
You know, they're solid young people. We've got a few family members running in Gippsland all across the state. So yeah. It's going to be, you know, I've figured it out. My voting card, actually, I'm voting for family. So if you're not related to me, I'm sorry, I'm not able to vote for you because I've got
well,
enough family
anyway.
Members there. Yeah, I've got a daughter. You've got a daughter here, but also I'm extending that into also my we've got a cousin, and he's related to us through Granny Lydia, and he's running in Gippsland, and he's fully entitled to too.
That's
and
right.
And so I'll put him on my ticket because he's one of my relatives.
Yeah, that's good. It's we've come a long way in terms.
A bit hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
So, but that's how I'm saying. I've got a grandson and a sister, and a niece, and so they're my three first votes. And so, however many votes you can have, I'll go down to who my actual relatives are.
Yeah, it's all about my the bloodline clan. Back to the territory for me. And,
well, that's what I think.
That's
too.
What it's about for me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marge. Heaps.
No, thank you, Rob.
No worries. We should do it more often. Come on my show more often. And
yes, well, I'm going to do Beyond the Bars at Dame Phyllis NAIDOC Week.
Oh, mad.
Yeah, so I've already had a meeting with Michaela the team.
Yeah.
Michaela.
Yeah.
We've got a Michaela here and a Michaela, Michaela, so it's getting me a bit confused.
Yeah,
and
I was also thinking about trying to establish a radio station up there. In like
Some
small station up there in Far East Gippsland, or what they call it?
Well, if I could have a plug on that, one of the projects that I'm working on, and it's on a program for transition from logging. So I've been engaged by the Wilderness Society and the environmental movement to come up with an idea of what we can do. So there's the now primary school where my kids went to school, Lydia's kids went to school, and Lydia saved the gorge when the gas pipeline went through to Sydney. And
yeah, I remember that well, yes.
Yes, you were right there. And so that's where the school is. There's only one dog leg between Longford and Sydney, and that's at now.
Yes, that's right.
So we see that as a very significant, and it's also a sacred place, as you know.
Yeah.
And that's a story that is a dreaming song line. And so we want to capture all of that essence, as well as provide alternatives to logging, which is land conservation. We want to include art and crafts and all of those sorts of things. But we also would like to set up a radio station, and we'd hope to encourage young people and people of any age who are looking to skill up and get employment. And one of the ideas is a radio station.
Well, I'd love
because
to be involved.
We know that 3CR has provided in its history since in the early 70s, when we were all living in the 70s, a wonderful opportunity to train broadcasters and the job opportunities, but also get information out there, I think, in the best possible, which is the best medium of media, rather than newspapers or whatever else, books and that. It's radio.
I know. And you can get to play some music too.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. And so that's why 3CR is a real icon for me.
It's 50 years this year.
50 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think we remember the day that it started.
Yeah, that's right. Back in 1976.
Yes.
In Cromwell Street, Collingwood.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I remember it. It was like a factory when it began. Yeah. That's what you can do with community, and I really love this place because
it's
community
about
based,
community
based, community, community controlled, self determining. That's what I love
and
about it.
And it's about our people and the reconciling. And we want to use that word. It's reconciling with the people who are in your community on the country that you belong to.
Yeah,
that's reconciliation, and you work it out yourselves on the ground. And that's what 3CR has done perfectly with the Aboriginal community there at that time.
All right, Marge.
If Mickey T's listening on radio, Mickey T's in hospital, everybody, in St. Vincent's, and he's doing well. But I'm sending my love to my little brother, my youngest brother, and he's going all right. So,
well, I'm
going
to play him a song, Marge. I've got time to play one song before we bail. It's three,
no
3 minutes to 12 o'clock. I'll see you tomorrow at Camp Sovereignty for our big day, 20 years of anniversary.
Looking forward to it.
Love you, Marge. Thanks,
love you too, Rob.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, right. Bye. Right,
bye. Yeah, that's Marjorie Thorpe, part of the Black GST and what established Camp Sovereignty back there 20 years ago. Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. To listen to a full audio of Bunjil's Fire radio show, a historically informed critical analysis of Aboriginal affairs and the ongoing political movement for land rights, treaty, sovereignty and the cessation of genocide, go to 3cr.org.au/Bunjil's Fire. If you want to support independent black media on 3CR, please go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.